I think that we can discuss what's going on in the country without grumbling and complaining about it. I really think I think that, like, right now we all know we're coming up on an election, and I'm going to tell you in advance, if you don't already know it, you need to make sure as a Christian, if you really have made Jesus Lord of your life, you need to make sure that you're going to vote for somebody this time in your district or in your state or wherever you're from that believes in Christian principles, if you can find somebody. But I will have to say, you need to change what's in Washington. You know, now, I'm not grumbling and complaining about them. I'm just saying they need to be out of office. You know, we need some new people up there because, you know, I mean, I stand in awe at the people that don't have a clue what's going on in Washington. I asked some young boys the other day, I was somewhere, I forget now where I was, but in some store, there was three or four or five boys, and I said, "Hi guys," I said, you guys know what's going on in Washington? No. I said, "You know who the president is?" Oh, yeah, Obama. I said, "You know who the vice president is?" No. I said, "Okay, Joe Biden." But I said, anyway, I said, "Obama is the president." I said, "Did y'all vote for him?" "Yes." I said, "Okay, do you think he's doing a good job?" "Oh, yeah, he's doing a good job." I said, "Have you looked at any of his records since he went in office?" "No, I won't have time to mess with that. You know, we're just working. And I have a clue what's going on." So that's how the people that are tearing down America are tearing it down, because we're not paying attention to what's going on. But what's causing all of this is the church is not paying attention to the church. You know, we're not loving God, serving Him, putting Him first. We're not going out and making disciples like He told us, and by not doing that, that's bringing all kinds of devastation upon the church. I think it all starts right here in the pulpit. All of us that are pastors, we ought to be teaching the full Word of God. But I don't want to teach that because it might offend my people. Hey, I'd rather offend the people than God. In fact, I had a preacher when we was in Alamogordo, New Mexico. He stood up before his congregation of several hundred people after I preached and said, "All I got to say about Thurman is he won't never have a big church." He said he tells it just like it is, and people don't want to hear what he's got to say. He said that to his congregation. I thought, wow, and I just preached exactly what God's Word said. Isn't that amazing? But you know, I got news for you. They didn't want to hear what Jesus said either. When Jesus came, you know, the one that really gets me is chapter 11 of John, when Jesus came back to Lazarus. Lazarus had already been in the grave 4 days. And he told him to move the stone. And he called Lazarus, and Lazarus came out alive and well. It said many believed. But it also said many went away to figure a way to kill him and Lazarus. And that's beyond my ability to grasp. I mean, if I'd just seen a man had been in a tomb for 4 days, and he walks out of there, I'd be jumping up and down screaming, "This is God!" Wouldn't you? Of course. But can you imagine the eyes of these men were blinded to the point that they're out to figure a way to kill Jesus, the author of life, and Lazarus. He just raised from the dead. Wow. Well, one thing about Jesus, you can't kill him. He says so, his word. He said, "No man can take my life. I lay it down. When I'm ready, I give it, and then I'll take it up again. But I've come to do this for you." And by doing this and laying down his life, the devil was not able to get Jesus to sin. And when he was not able to get Jesus to sin, when he killed him, now, who killed Jesus? Who put him on that cross? People with demons. Now see, the scripture clearly says that, it's in Corinthians, I know, one of the Corinthians, that clearly says that if the principalities and powers that have known what they were doing, they would not have crucified the Son of Glory. So who crucified the Son of Glory? Satan and his host of demons. They put him on the cross. Now, when they killed him without legal right, Jesus is the first man that didn't belong to the devil. He had no legal claim to him. But he put him on the cross and killed him anyway. Now then, when he kills a man that he don't have legal claim to, now then, according to the judicial law of heaven, what does the scripture say when a man kills a man that's innocent? What is to be done with him? He's to be killed. Yeah, his blood should be required of him. So Satan lost it. That's how Jesus won the world back. That's how he won it back. And that's how he got the power and dominion over it again. And then he turns around and gives that to the church. Today we have dominion. Complete power and complete authority over all things. And he gives us the New Testament, New Covenant. And he comes and shows us what we can do by faith. Now I want to show you some of these things we can do here. There's a whole lot of things I hadn't got to. I had put down on my list to go through today. But I want to go through some of these. I want to go to Galatians 3, 13 through 15. I want to show you what you can do about breaking this curse. We talked a little about the curse, and if you're under a curse, you need to know how to break the curse, because if you don't know how to break the curse, then you're going to be afflicted with the curse the rest of your life. I've had numerous people come here, and I think everybody's under a curse if they haven't broken it. And, of course, the curse is what keeps you down. But Galatians 3:13, it says here, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now then, if Christ has redeemed you from the curse under the new covenant, if he's paid the price for it, are you under it anymore? No. But you have to know that. You have to know, because he says that, just like that next verse says, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. How do we receive everything under the new covenant? Through faith. That's the way you do it. It's not a physical, tangible world. It's a spiritual world with spiritual laws. And yet, when we sin, the enemy works on our flesh, and he makes our flesh sick and afflicts us because of the curse. Once we realize that Jesus redeemed us from the curse, now then we can claim the redemption from the curse and command the demons that goes with the curse to leave us. Now we're free. The curse is broken, the demons are gone, and it's done. And now then all you got to do is claim your healing and stand on the Word of God, and start standing on some of these wonderful promises that God give us, and your healing will come. Now, somebody said, well, I didn't get healed instantly. I know lots of people don't get healed instantly. I know some it's taken a period of time. I mean, very few times in my own life when I've had something happen to me, when I can remember one time years ago when I fell through a platform truck over there working on that house, that I tore my left leg up so bad, tore off all the skin on my shin and everything, that I just raised my britches leg up and looked and saw a big old piece of skin about 3 inches long and an inch wide, and just plumbed down to the bone and bleeding like crazy. So I just said, Lord, thank you that you bore my sickness, and thank you that you healed me on the cross. So it's a done deal. I just pulled my sock up over and went back to work and just worked all day. We sheetrocked the house and done all kinds of things. I come home that night and took my clothes off, take a shower. My sock was bloody. My tennis shoe was bloody and everything. So I showered and cleaned up real good. And I wrapped some stuff around it and went up to the grocery store to get me some stickless bandages so I could bandage it up where they wouldn't bleed on the sheet at night. And so I just thought, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. I said, now, Lord, you said under the new covenant that I could ask for anything. Now let me show you one of the promises. Look at John 14, 13 and 14. I want to show you that what you can do after you've broken the curse and you've kicked out the demon, then you can take this scripture here in John 14, 13 and 14. If you're walking in obedience to God's Word and the Word is in you and you're in Him and He's in you, in other words, some people say, well, that says I can ask for anything. Well, Lord, I ask for you to heal me right now in the name of Jesus. And nothing happens. I said, well, how much time have you spent with God in the last 6 months? None. You ain't dwelling in the secret place. You ain't there. You're just not there. It'd be kind of like me, you know, walking up to some girl, you know, that I've never seen before. Say, if I walk up to my wife and say, honey, I'm going to take you to dinner tonight. Sure, let's go. What if I was to walk up to this woman who said, I never met this woman before in my life. And I said, hey, I want to take you to dinner tonight. She said, who do you think you are? I don't know you. I ain't going to dinner with you. I don't have no legal claim to this girl at all. But I got all kinds of legal claim to this one. You see what I mean? Now then, yeah, I'm spending time with this one every day. You know, so anything I want from her, she fixes it for me. You know, she does it for me, whatever. Now this one back here, I hardly know her. She's a nice woman, I know. I'm just using Alice as an example. She probably would do anything for me. I asked anyway. You know, she loves me. I know she does. But, I mean, I literally have no legal claim to this girl. You know, you understand where I'm coming from? Yeah. So, but sometimes that's what people think with God. Oh, God, I just learned, you know, that I can ask for anything and you'll do it. So, Lord, I ask you to heal me. He said, okay, get rid of your sin. Sin? What sin? Oh, that lying, that grumbling, complaining, all that other nonsense, you know, that pornography you've been looking at, all that. Lord, I got to get rid of all that stuff. That's my fun stuff. That's what the world sees that as, fun stuff. But God ain't going to answer your prayer as long as you're still in the world stuff. So he says, but here, like my leg, I said, Lord, you said I can ask for anything in your name. And I will do it because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name and I will do it. So I asked the Father in Jesus' name. I said, Lord, I want you to heal my leg without a scar. I don't want a big old scab to form on there. Because if a big old scab forms, there'd be a big old hard scar on there. I want you to grow the skin to skin, top to bottom, side to side. And I don't want a scar. What did he say you could ask for? Hey, don't you think we ought to believe him? Yes. And so it took, see, now did it happen overnight? No, not at all. It took 3 months. 3 months. I bandaged that thing up with a stickless bandage every day for 3 months. But he healed it without a scar. Now then, why does God do something supernatural one time and take 3 months the next time?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Live in the Word, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.